We have been in Acts. We are finishing up Acts chapter 15 today. Last week, we looked at the first part of Acts chapter 15, or most of the chapter, actually. And we looked at how the church handled the question with the Jewish culture and the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant. And then the council wrote a letter addressing that issue, and Paul and Barnabas took that to the churches. And it says that they stayed in Antioch to encourage the believers. And then this is what happens next in Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 36. So they deliver the letter. Everything's going good. They stay there. And verse 36 of Acts chapter 15 says, "Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." Conflict among the believers. That's the title of our message today. Conflict among the believers. So let's break this down by a little bit. So point number one, led by the Spirit? Question mark. Get the pun in there? Question mark. It's about Mark. Come on. So sometime later, it's been roughly a year since they delivered the letter, and they've been there encouraging the church this whole time. So now we're around roughly 49 AD. It's almost been 20 years since the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The church has entered some conflict, but they're navigating through it. Now the leadership is in conflict. It's always fun when there's conflict. No? It takes tension to grow. Takes resistance. So Paul wants to go back and visit the churches and encourage them. It's something he's passionate about. It's deep in his heart. And in discussing this journey, Barnabas wants to take Mark, John Mark, known today, we know him as Mark the Evangelist. But Paul disagrees, and the disagreement is so intense that they part ways. Led by the Spirit? Question mark. Sometimes we disagree. Sometimes you think my ideas are crazy. An outside foyer with an awning and coffee outside and blinding sunlight. And you shake your head and you think, what is he doing? It's not perfect, but it helps the traffic flow in our situation. You can actually walk through the foyer now. People can get their kids to kids' church and their toddlers to toddler area. And the not as young adults can come into service. Sometimes in ministry, we don't see things the way other people do. I make jokes about LED walls and lasers and fog and all of those things. But there's people that love those things. It's okay to be a lone wolf. But for me, that's not the direction I feel like God is leading us or taking us. We're going to keep using the KISS method. Some people look at the drums and go, you need a drum cage. And I adamantly will resist a drum cage. And this is why, because I feel like a drum cage transforms this from an altar into a stage. And we want the altar to alter us. I don't hate the drums. We'll just use straps on the drummer. God gives us a vision to lead and direct and to guide. And with some, that will bring conflict, an opposition. But we have to be able to navigate conflict to successfully grow. We're going to bring back the 80s. Not because I love church in the 80s. I didn't even go to church in the 80s. Well, I guess I went to the Catholic church. I was a good altar boy. But I didn't even start serving the Lord until 95. Yeah, that was a long time ago. They're doing the math. Man. So as God directs, we do our best to follow. Paul and Barnabas are following what God's speaking to their hearts. Paul is going, we need to go back to the churches. And Barnabas is going, we need to go back to the churches. But we need to bring Mark. In a sense, we could almost say that Paul was hurt by the church. Paul was hurt by the church. Because back in Acts chapter 13, a few years ago, Mark abandoned them in the midst of their journey. They had just come from a really intense situation. Spiritual battle. It was difficult. They're physically being attacked. They're spiritually being attacked. They're being run out of cities. And in Paul's mind and heart and his experience, Mark abandoned them in a time of need. And so he goes, I don't want to bring this guy. I don't think he is going to help the people. And so Paul, full of the Holy Spirit, says, no way. We're not bringing this guy with us. Barnabas, also full of the Holy Spirit, says, yes way. We are bringing this guy with us. We need him. We need to give him another chance. Number two, let the Spirit lead! Exclamation point. Let the Spirit lead. If we read through this quickly, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wants to take John Mark. Paul doesn't think it's a good idea. Verse 39, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. And Paul takes Silas. And Barnabas takes Mark. In a quick read, it appears that they got in an argument and they split and went separate ways. Angry, frustrated, discouraged, rejected, hurt by the church in a sense, or church leadership. But that is in fact not what happened. That's not what happened. If we read through history, what we find out is that what took place is they had differing points of views. They had differing opinions. They're strong leaders. We got a lot of leaders in this room. And we can fight to be alpha, or you can just accept it. Maybe that's a joke, maybe it's not. So even with differing opinions, Paul and Barnabas sit down and let the Spirit lead. And what actually happens is they determine, okay, you take Mark. Mark is actually Barnabas' cousin. They're related. And Barnabas is going, I think God wants to use him. And Paul is going, I don't trust him. Have you ever experienced that? I was on staff at a ministry, and a leader had some issues and left. And the new leadership a few years later said, we're going to bring him back. And me and about three other key employees said, here's our resignation. You can file it when you bring him back because we're leaving. We are not going to be under that leadership again. And the person in charge said, whoa, okay, I didn't realize you guys felt so strongly. We will rethink some decisions. And so Paul doesn't want to bring Mark. Paul's concerned about how it's going to affect the ministry. But what happens is they take a deep breath. They begin to discuss it. They begin to pray. What ends up happening is that they separated, but they said, okay, Barnabas, take Mark and go to these churches. Go to the area of Cyprus, because John Mark has ministered in Cyprus and he was successful there. The people appreciated him. The people loved him and he was doing a good work there. So Barnabas, take him back to where he's experienced success and begin to minister with him. And I, Paul, will take Silas and we'll go to this region and begin to minister there. So not only did they visit the churches that they wanted to visit, but they did a divide and conquer kind of thing, and they set Mark up for success. Later, we see that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul acknowledges that Barnabas was right when he says he encourages Timothy to bring Mark with him because he is good for the ministry. And so we get a little snippet to say, hey, look, this worked. This worked. They were both successful. And sometimes we just got to go different directions. Paul and Barnabas disagreed, yet they were able to slow down and allow the Spirit to lead them. Sometimes when we get upset or we get frustrated, our emotions get in the way, words start flying out of our mouth. The worst thing is, once they come back, there's no reel to bring them back in. It's like getting the toothpaste out of the tube. Once it comes out, it is not going back. Not without a mess. When we let our emotions get in the way, it's difficult to hear what the Holy Spirit has for us sometimes. And Paul takes Silas, and Silas was a mature believer, and he'd already been used to encourage the church. He was a member of the Jerusalem church, which helped show the unity that Paul and the leadership in Jerusalem had. And so it was building confidence amongst the churches, knowing that the leadership was united and moving forward in the same direction. And so when I read this, I see a couple of things happening. God uses the gifts and personalities of Barnabas and Paul. I see Paul as an intense guy. That's what I see. When I read about Paul and his conflicts and the way that Paul addressed doctrinal things and all of the stuff that Paul did, in my mind, I see him as kind of an intense, confrontational kind of guy. Barnabas, we know they changed his name to be the encourager. And what better person to take John Mark? I'm sure he feels Like that song we were singing, "Take My Guilt and My Shame." And I'm sure he knows that he failed them. I'm sure that Paul let him know. Yeah, we're not bringing you because this is what you did last time and I don't trust you. But Barnabas had the gift of being an encourager, and he could take and transform him through the Holy Spirit, through his encouraging words, through his demeanor, through his leadership abilities, and raise up a leader. Paul took somebody that was already strong and already confident and already doing the thing to minister with him. When we let the Spirit lead, God will move in us and use us in great ways. Sometimes the path to where we want to be or feel like we should be does not make sense or is not clear. I worked in corrections for over 10 years as a chaplain. Hated 95% of it. Because I was frustrated. In my mind, I would think, Lord, my confidence speaking, this is a waste of my abilities. This is a waste of my skills. This is a waste of my prime years. I found out 50 is prime. Lord, why do you have me in this place? These guys are ungrateful, they're disgusting, they're rude. I know more about Satanism and Wicca and Native American practices and Odinism than I ever thought necessary. I went to get a hat the other day at Shields. It was a cool hat. Karen goes, from a distance, it looks like a Thor's hammer. I put it right back. She goes, I'm just telling you because you're going to notice it after you get home and you're never going to wear it. You're right. And so I go, man, Lord, why? In retrospect, it makes sense. I would do it again. Hopefully with a better attitude. Because God used that as a training grounds for me to learn about people, to learn about deceit, to learn how to read a room, to learn how to read an individual, so that when I get asked to go to lunch, I already know before we get to lunch, they're manipulating me. And then we can have some fun with it. But I didn't have those skills. Some of you get it. Okay. I didn't have those skills before. I literally had that happen here. Right away, somebody took me to lunch and wanted a position. And so, because I knew and I could see the situation because of the training ground I had been in, I was able to go, this is the situation. We got broken windows. Not anymore. We got this situation. We got this. We got this. We got this. Staff? We're 4 years in and we're still not to that. So you're going to have to be really patient, which they were not. And that's okay. If you don't agree with me and you don't like me, you're missing out. And it's okay. They went somewhere else and they're ministering and it's okay. If you're in a place and it doesn't make sense to you, take a deep breath. Allow God to use it. What do I need to be working on? How should I be growing? How can I be improving me? If this is where I want to be, what can I do to get me ready for this? Instead of just complaining about the moment, because the season can last as long as you want it to. Paul and Barnabas could have walked away from this moment at odds. And every time they come back around and see each other, just say they have an annual conference in Jerusalem, like some organizations, and you're going to come back in contact every year. And you can't worship because all you can see is that Barnabas took John Mark. If only he would have listened to me. We want to learn, grow, develop as a man or woman of God, seeking after what he wants for us, allowing him to bring things. Because it's those situations and circumstances that we navigate in life that help to create who we are and how we can minister to other people. There's things that I do today, ministries I'm involved in, that I never would have thought I would be involved in. I get a lot of calls for funerals. A lot of calls. Never would have seen that as an area to be involved in. But God has gifted me with pain and grief and loss and tragedy. And because of those things, I can do that ministry. Had I not experienced those things, that ministry would be very rote. It would be very, it would be less authentic, less real. I would just be reading a script. But being able to identify with the pain, whether it's a person that is young or whether it's a person that is well on in their years, the loss is still difficult. And being able to minister in that situation is a gift. But I had to walk through difficult things to be able to do that. And so if we can embrace where we're at and say, okay, God, use this time. I'm open to what you have for me. Dangerous words, by the way. But I'm open, Lord, to what you have for me. I will walk through those doors. God will use those things. When it doesn't go the way we think it should, we tend to dismiss it as a mistake when it could be a training ground. If you let the Spirit lead. Acts chapter 16, I included the first five verses of Acts chapter 16 because it really ties in, and you know the chapters aren't. That was some guys that sat down and did that. It's not like divine. And so we're including the first part of 16 because it really wraps up the final things of this whole deal. And it says in verse 1, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along the journey, so he circumcised him. So he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Verse 4, as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. So number 3, led by the Spirit, period. Led by the Spirit. So Paul comes to these towns and he meets Timothy. It's critical. Timothy had a Jewish mother, which means he was Jewish, and he had a Greek father. His mother was a believer. His mom and his grandma, they raise him in the Jewish culture and with the Jewish beliefs. It's likely that he had converted during one of Paul's previous trips. Timothy had been involved with the churches in Lystra and Iconium, and maybe they even discipled him, and that's why they were able to speak well of him and talk about him. And so Paul sees something in this young man, and led by the Spirit, he wants to bring him along on the next missionary journey. Develop him as a leader, invest in him, but he requires him to be circumcised to do so, which seems a little contradictory to the whole letter that we read last week, that they don't have to do that. Which is why this ties in with the previous chapter. And this is why Paul required that. Because he's a Jew. And that was part of their culture. And that was part of their worship system. Still is. And if they were going to go to the Jewish people, which Paul did, every time he went to a new city, he would go to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. And he maintained that. And to go in there, if Timothy didn't go through that process, the Jews would reject. Because to them, that was unclean. That was something that should have taken place. And so by having Timothy do that, it gained them acceptance. It gave them an open door to minister to the Jews. The second thing, Paul's led by the Spirit in this, previously let down by a young believer, Mark. Paul doesn't let that hinder his ability to invest in Timothy. Comes across another young man, full of energy, full of the Spirit, eager to serve, submits himself to some cruel and unusual punishment. And says, yeah, I'll do whatever it takes to go with you, to serve you. We all say that. Yeah, I'll do whatever God wants me to do. But to actually do that is a different thing. Paul is able to set aside his feelings from the previous situation with Mark and take this new situation and go, I'm going to invest in Timothy. When we harbor all these feelings, when we harbor all of these things, we limit ourselves from being able to do that. So often in life, we will assume that the outcome is going to be the same. Well, if Mark abandoned me and left me, Timothy's going to do the same thing, because you just can't trust these young people today. Have you seen this generation? It sounds like something we say today. Oh, yeah. Oh, those millennials, you know. And I know some hard-working millennials. But sometimes we assume people are always going to fail us. We assume the church is going to fail us. We assume people don't want to be involved with what we're doing. We assume people don't want a relationship with us. We assume, you fill in the blank. What is it that you're assuming? We assume God gave up on me. He forgot about me. There's more important people out there. All we're doing in those situations is projecting our own thoughts and feelings on the people around us. And it's a way to protect ourselves. Because if I just have the conversation in my head and we don't actually talk, way easier. I always win that argument. If we're really going to be led by the Spirit, if we're going to really let Jesus take the wheel, we have to put those things aside. Does this mean we throw out wisdom and discernment? All those years of training in the prison? No. But I can read the situation now. I have a better idea of what's coming. I'll still hear you out. I'm still more than happy to correct you. You know, God gave us a brain for a reason. He expects you to use it, to think things through. He gave you sensitivity to the Holy Spirit for a reason. If it doesn't feel right, it's probably not right. And you need to move away from it. Sometimes it feels good, you still shouldn't do it. All of these experiences, they add up. For me, it's so that I can shepherd the people. Hopefully well. Hopefully better than just good enough. So I can see the dangers and protect the people. All while listening to where God is leading and guiding us. And directing us, and we're going, and we're following, and we're hanging awnings because they're cool. Nobody else has an awning. So there. We've got two. Timothy's willing to submit to a painful procedure so he can go. And what's the result? The Judaizers, the ones that are saying you got to do the old and the new, they're silenced. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 5, it says, though the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. We see that phrase all throughout the book of Acts. They grew daily in numbers. Why are we going through the book of Acts? We've been in the book of Acts for a long time. Because it's the original blueprint for the church and what the church should be doing. There's so many great things that are happening in the book of Acts. And the church is growing. The Spirit is moving. Lives are transformed. So what do we do with conflict in the church? And just as a disclaimer, I'm not addressing a situation. I'm not preaching at a certain someone. Unless you feel like I am, then maybe I am. Just going through the book of Acts. But what do we do with conflict? We walk through it. We talk through it. Does that mean you're right? Does that mean your viewpoint and your direction is going to be adopted? You know. It means we'll hear what's taking place in your heart, and we'll discuss it, and we'll navigate it. And maybe there's something great there that we need to do, or maybe there's some correction and redirection that needs to take place. But we're going to hear the thing, and we're going to talk through it, because that's what we do in a healthy situation, in a healthy relationship. And we navigate it. And it's okay to have different ideas as long as you end up on mine at the end. We'll seek the Lord together. and trust God to lead us. Led by the Spirit? We ask the questions. We seek the answers. We trust God is going to guide us. Kudos to those of you that were here when we came to our original founding group. This wasn't what they pictured necessarily. When Pastor Joel walked me into the room, they were like, "You speak Spanish? Taco, burrito, salsa. I speak the important part of the language." But they let the Spirit lead. And they said, "Okay, God, if this is what you've got, I guess we'll take it." They let the Spirit lead, exclamation point. We have to submit ourselves to the work and direction of the Lord. Think what would have happened if Paul had stayed frustrated and angry and allowed a root of bitterness to grow up. Think what would have happened. Would Mark have made an impact? Probably not. Probably wouldn't have been encouraging Timothy. Timothy and Mark may have never developed into the leaders that they became. And Paul probably never would have encouraged Timothy to take Mark with him. Would Paul have been in the right frame of mind to bring a Timothy along? Or would he have overlooked him as another potential failure? We have to examine ourselves and say, okay, am I going to let the Spirit lead? In the end, we want to go where God is leading. In the end, multiple cities were impacted. In the end, great leaders were raised up for the church. It's going to be uncomfortable sometimes, but if we are led by the Spirit, God will continue to use Sunny Ridge Church for great things. He will continue to build up the body, you, to continue to do great things and minister to the people around you. To reach out to those who aren't feeling well. To encourage those who are discouraged. To be a Barnabas at Sunny Ridge Church that lifts up, encourages. Let the Spirit lead. I say it because I believe it, and that is that God wants to do great things through this place. No matter where you're at, if you're frustrated by your current circumstance or situation, God has a plan. And He will navigate us through those things. He will open doorways of opportunity. He will build us up. He will encourage us. So often the battle is in here and we get so discouraged in our minds. And it's really difficult sometimes to push those things out. I was so grateful for worship this morning. I was like, oh man, I needed this. I needed some music. Some worship music, and I needed to feel the presence of the Lord. God is in control. He's got this thing. If we can submit ourselves to Him. Amen. Lord, I thank you for these